This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author, and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. This is the first lesson in a 10-week topical series titled The Christian and His Deliverance. In this lesson, Dr. Matthews will talk about the Lord Jesus, our Deliverer. Study notes for this lesson may be obtained from the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org. And now with today's lesson, here is Dr. Matthews.
Take your Bible, would you please, and turn with me to the book of Psalms and the 50th Psalm. I'd like to read just one verse out of this psalm as something of a setting for our discussion this evening. As you know, in the next 10 weeks, the Lord willing, I'd like to discuss with you this great theme in the Bible, and that is that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ a deliverer, and that as believers, our lives are to be characterized by deliverance. We need to always go back now to our basic theme that we've talked about for all of these years in the Bible class. I have it here on the overhead projector. That here you are a person, and you are primarily a spiritual person. And our real fulfillment can only come through God, who is a divine person, and in the area of spirituality in our lives. How necessary for us to keep that in mind, that when God made us in the Garden of Eden, He made us in such a way that we could live as a fulfilled person. Now notice here in the book of Psalms in chapter 50 in the 15th verse, we have a very encouraging statement. It's something of a challenge from the Lord, a promise. He said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Now, what a great verse that is. You see, the Lord wants to come into your life and mine and to bring the deliverance that all of us sense so deeply that we need. Now, we never get so far along in the Christian life, but what there are areas where we need particular help. We ought not to be embarrassed about this. If we could live perfectly, then God would never have made the provision for the confession of sins. No one ever in the Bible described as an individual who couldn't grow more in the grace of God. And a part of the reason why we're not in heaven is that He wants us to grow up in the grace of God and experience more deeply in all of the areas of our life the meaning of God's grace. Now, the grace of God really doesn't mean very much in our lives unless we have His ministry in the area of solving our problems, bringing deliverance to us. Now, we're all sinful people, even though we've been brought to the assurance of salvation. We're not in heaven yet. We haven't been glorified yet. We still have the old fleshly pattern of behavior. Sometimes we call it the old nature. We all have this. Sin manifests itself in all of our lives in just a little different way. Some things, some problems that I have in my life and I need to work continually upon, you may not have difficulty in these areas at all, but you may be having some kind of trouble in your life where that's not particularly a difficulty in my life. We need one another, and we need to understand that God knows our needs, and He wants to come to us and minister to us. And this great verse here in one of the experience books of the Old Testament reminds us that this deliverance that Jesus Christ has purchased for us, that this deliverance is the will of God for us. And he gives us this promise that through an understanding and a practical outworking of deliverance, we can be to the glory and the honor and the praise of His own wonderful name. Take the material you received when you came into the auditorium, if you would please, and let me work along now for a little while on the first page. Here's the title page, The Christian and His Deliverance. Notice the purpose of this study. Our endeavor in this series of lessons is to glorify God through coming to a deeper understanding of the believer's deliverance. The freedom which has been obtained for us by Jesus Christ is not only a legal benefit of salvation, but it is a practical experience of power, assurance, and joy in the daily life. It is tragic but true. that many believers have areas in their life which is more characterized by bondage than freedom, by weakness than power, by confusion than assurance, by depression than joy. Now, we may not allow this to continue. Jesus Christ is our deliverer, and he has set us free. We must learn how to implement this freedom in our daily life, and this is the purpose of the series of this lesson. So now, for the next 10 weeks, I just want to settle down with you in a very simple way, and I just want to talk to you out of my heart, out of the Bible, out of many, many of the chapters and the pages of my own life. And I want to talk to you about some very, very important things that can become sources of power instead of weakness, strength and victory instead of failure. Now, we all need this ministry of the Holy Spirit through his word. And I trust that as the Lord leads us and strengthens us in the next few weeks, that all of us will grow in a very fine way. And I just want to stop and say a word of appreciation here for how many of you have sent my wife and I lovely cards over the holiday with some encouraging words, and how some of you have called on the phone and written letters and talked about the fact that you are growing in the grace of God. And the last series that had to do with priorities, that the series was a great help to you. Well, it was I want to thank you for that. Notice the recommendation that I would give to you now as we start this new series. I would ask you to spend at least a half hour a day studying the scripture and the lesson. Pray for illumination about character defects, sins of omission and commission, and giving ground to Satan. Be honest. Accept the truth and obey God. Be willing to acknowledge and forsake those sins and errors which have brought you into bondage. Trust God to turn the searchlight of his word upon your heart and life. Ask him to rescue you and to enable you to live in the freedom and the liberty that he's purchased for you. Well, that's my recommendation, and I take for granted now when you come that you'll have worked through the material, and that we might be able to go on then to the next lesson. Notice on page 2 I have a little outline. I'd like to work this evening upon the theme of the Lord Jesus, our deliverer, and give a little overview of what we're going to be talking about. And then next Thursday night, the Lord willing, I want to talk about deliverance from the law, and then from guilt, condemnation, death, hell, the principle of sin, from Satan, the world, temptation, deception. And then to conclude this with a few comments by way of the privileges and the responsibilities that grow out of the matter of being a delivered person. Now notice on page 3, if I might ask you to turn to that, and here's lesson number 1 now, Jesus Christ, our deliverer. I want to emphasize that we always have to have the context that I have here on the overhead projector, that God made you like this as a person, and that you are a spiritual person, and that's where he wants to bring the real emphasis of his deliverance. You understand how last section of our material we reminded ourselves that the inner man is much more important to God than any form of service or even of life that we may live. And that God desires to, in our inner man, to bring joy to us and to bring renewal and to bring strength. Now, there are some of you dear folk this evening, and you're sitting there and you're thinking that this may well be for other people, but you're not one of those. This may well be true for well-adjusted Christians, but you're not so well-adjusted. that's not the way to do it. Now, this is true for all of us. The deliverance that he has for us is for every one of us. Some of us, because of our background, we have a greater opportunity to work harder and to receive a greater deliverance. Some of you here, I know some of you well, and God wants to bring his grace into your life so that you can experience the grace of God in a way that other people couldn't even imagine the grace of God, because they haven't had difficulty in their past or their problem, your problems. No person is an exception to deliverance. No person is an exception now to the joy of the Lord and freedom and being able to live with liberty, being able to read the Bible and get something out of it, to make sense out of Christianity. And that's true for all of us as the people of God. Well, on page 3, notice in the introduction, the theme of these lessons is an expression of the very heart of the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, there is deliverance from sin and all of its deadly effects. One of the titles given to the Lord Jesus is that of deliverer. Notice the verse, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Well, here's his name, and what a beautiful name it is, that he is our deliverer. What a comfort that is. Now, when he came into our lives, when we became believers, and from that time he's given us his undivided attention, and this is one of the great goals that he has in mind, in your life and mine, and that is making us to be in a very practical and experiential and also in a very enjoyable way, a delivered person. Notice the implication in the verse we just read here in Romans 11:26. How does he bring deliverance? Well, it states, by turning away ungodliness. Now, that doesn't mean that by our own choice we're ungodly people, but we all have in our lives the source of our bondage, which has its roots in the matter of the fact that we are a part of a fallen race. And all of the ungodliness and all of the deadly effects of it, he wants to come into your life and mine and to break that. Now, I know there are many of you, and you've been struggling for years with this, haven't you? Well, it just may very well be now that you have never been taught enough and well enough and encouraged and helped enough so that you can live the Christian life. I want to work on that in this first lesson a little bit. Notice capital C in the introduction. There are three biblical principles to keep in mind as we continue through these lessons. Number one, all of the facets of our deliverance are inseparably related to the Lord Jesus Christ, our deliverer. He has not only made a provision for our freedom, we receive this liberty when we receive him into our life, and we increasingly experience this deliverance as we grow in a life of fellowship with him. Now, it's necessary that we all recognize that truth tonight. That in Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. It's all in him. Now, this is an old story for many of us. But you see, it's one thing to know it as a truth. It's another thing to really believe it and then to live like that. Many times we ask God to do something more for us. Now, I'm not against that kind of praying, but we need to realize that God has made every provision for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all related to him. And when he comes into our lives legally and technically, all of the provision is inseparably related to Jesus Christ, who is our deliverer. Now, one great purpose that he has in mind in coming is to make this deliverance a reality and a joyful, practical victory in your life and mine. Notice number two now. When we did receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were given all the legal rights to complete deliverance from sin and all of its effects. All of this came with the Savior. The Christian is a delivered person. Now, that's how we need to start out. While we may have areas of bondage in our life, just to be very blunt about it, areas of bondage, this doesn't mean that we're not a delivered person. We have been set free in Christ, and we need to take now what is legally ours in Christ and then learn how to put it into practice. So what is ours in him becomes an enjoyable living reality day by day. The third point, in order for this liberty to be a practical experience of power, joy, and assurance, we must learn of our deliverance and how to cooperate with God in the day-by-day application of freedom. It may well be that many of us do not know enough about the Christian life to live in freedom. God wants to set you free, but he can only work in your life through truth. Did you ever stop to think about that? Now, if I don't know what to do so I can be free, God is limited, to use a very strong word, limited is what he can do with me. You see, only by knowing the truth can I really open the door for God to work in my life by way of practical experience. Now, it's a little different in the area of salvation. I need to know enough to repent and believe the gospel and receive Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior. But now living the Christian life is a little different. No wonder he said there in John 8:32, the verse I've put here at the end of the third point, and that is that knowing the truth will make us free. So God is a God of truth. He's revealed to us the truth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and given it to us in the Holy Scripture. Now, if I haven't been taught so I can put that into practice, then there's going to be that limitation in my life. And that's the very reason for the Thursday night Bible class. And I'm so pleased and happy that you're here tonight so we can share some of the things that have to do with this matter of truth and deliverance. Well, notice number one now, if you would please. Why is all of this necessary? Well, you understand why it is, and that is the fact that God, who made us back there in the Garden of Eden, He made us like this, as I've had on the board in this last session. He made us to find fulfillment, be a fulfilled person in the fact that we were created with knowledge, and we were created in such a way so that we had ability and motivation to achieve certain goals in life so that God would be glorified. We were created with the ability to be able to worship God and live in fellowship with Him. And as we lived like this, then we were fulfilled people, happy people, growing in the grace of God. You know what happened, if I might place the fall over the diagram that speaks of creation? There was this almost complete destruction that came into your life and mine. No wonder we need deliverance. And only Jesus Christ could come into the world and stop those of us who are on the way to hell, and through His death and resurrection, make it possible for us to go to heaven. And happily now, a good deal of the destruction of the fall now can be lifted off the overhead, and we're, by the grace of God, back to the place where we can live with a sense of fulfillment. We can worship God. We can live in fellowship with Him. We can use our abilities and motivations to achieve goals. We can understand what it means to be created in God's image and in His likeness and put that knowledge into practice and then be a fulfilled and a happy person. The grace of God, you see, is sufficient now to reverse what happened to us in the fall. Well, what do we need by way of deliverance? Let me just anticipate now what I'm going to be talking about and put it here on the board. Here's our need. All of these areas, we need deliverance from God's law, from guilt, from hell, from sin, from Satan, from the world, temptation, and deception. And what a comfort to know that in the place of the condemnation of the law of God, God has provided for us righteousness. In the place of guilt, forgiveness. In the place of hell, freedom. In the place of sin, enablement. In the place of Satan, victory. In the place of the world, separation. In the place of temptation, strength. In the place of deception, He's provided the truth. Now, when I put this on the overhead projector and have to write it into these notes, it looks like a theory. I want to tell you there's no theoretical thing about this. We're not talking about a theory. We're talking about a relationship of a person to you who is your deliverer. That's the important thing to see. And what He wants to do is to come into your life and to help you as a person live with the deliverance that He has obtained for us. Well, I want to now, just very briefly, with a little overview, make a comment or two upon some of these this evening. Notice on the bottom of page 3, our need of deliverance. First of all, we need deliverance from the law of God. Now, this doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with God's law. The wrongness is all in us and our violation of the law of God. And next Thursday night, the Lord willing, I want to talk with you about that and work this out. Now, I realize that there are many of us here, and no one has ever taken us by the hand and taught us well enough so that we understand our position before God in relationship to His holy law. This was a great comfort to me years ago, to realize that before the law of God that I stand not only free from condemnation, but I stand perfectly righteous. Has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my family, my background, or what I could ever do for God. Has everything to do with the person who came into the world to be my deliverer. He came to set me free and to make it possible to stand as an accepted person, a righteous person before God's law. Notice my comment. In the Garden of Eden, we were created by God into a relationship of fellowship. We were by our nature and desire fully obedient to God. In that time of creation, God instructed Adam and Eve to obey him perfectly and explained to them that disobedience would break their fellowship with him, and this would result in spiritual and physical death. When Adam and Eve did sin, the law of God became a source of demand for perfect obedience and a condemnation as a pronouncement of death. Jesus Christ came into the world to meet the righteous demands of God's law, and he is the answer to all of the demands of the law. Now, there are some of you, dear folk, here tonight, and you're not quite sure whether you should believe that, as to whether you should rest back in the fullness of the righteousness and the acceptance and the provision that God has given to you. Well, I want to tell you that out of many verses of the Bible next week now, that he has made the kind of a provision where you can find in Christ not only the salvation acceptance, but the spiritual and emotional acceptance of being a righteous as well as a forgiven person and be accepted in the presence of God. Second thing we need is deliverance from guilt. Notice on page 4, we need deliverance from guilt, condemnation, and death. In failing to obey God, we transgress the law of God and thereby the very nature of God himself. This brought upon every member of the human race the sentence of condemnation with its guilt and death. The whole human race stands before God under condemnation. We are guilty and are creatures of death. Jesus Christ came to reverse all of this. Now, I realize that many of us suffer under a great deal of guilt when we don't have to. I was talking today to one of the young fellows that has to do with supervision in our dormitory. I met him in the bookstore, one of our older students in the seminary. And he said some of the, made some comment about the class this evening, and just said in a very offhand way that he realized that in his life, and he finds it in the lives of many students in school, that people suffer under guilt, and they live most of their life as a guilty kind of a person. Now, I just want to tell you that we need to face that guilt and find out whether it's genuine or whether it's not, to find out whether we're really convicted of the Holy Spirit or whether it's some kind of an emotional guilt that is still present in our lives because of the home in which we've been raised or because of the working of Satan in our life, who is called in the Bible the accuser of the brethren. Many people have guilt and they ought not to. We have been delivered in the person of the Lord Jesus. And he wants us not only to have the assurance of that, but to enjoy the freedom from guilt. Well, this is going to be a very important lesson when we come to it. Thirdly, on page 4, capital C, we need deliverance from hell. The eternal state of all sinners is that of hell. This is an everlasting existence under the judgment of God. Included in this judgment is separation from all love, mercy, and goodness. Perhaps the most serious characteristic of hell is that repentance and faith are an impossibility there. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered our hell and has set us free. Now, that ought to just mean everything to us here this evening. We will never know what hell is all about as far as being there or going through the experience of it. What a comfort to know that we are delivered people. Has nothing to do with how we live. Well, it ought to in our sanctification, but we don't earn heaven by how we live. It has everything to do with the reality of a deliverer. Capital D, we need deliverance from the principle of sin. The effect of the fall has had upon us is often described as total depravity. This simply means that all of the areas of our person and life have been influenced by sin. Instead of being creatures of faith, love, obedience, and life, we are creatures of unbelief, selfishness, disobedience, and death. All of us have a built-in resistance to the will of God. In his death, Jesus Christ broke the power of this sin. I mean by the principle of sin now what we popularly call the old nature. This is going to be a very important Thursday night. Many of us now do not really know how to take the Bible and to break the pattern of the old nature. We do not know how to do that. And I want you to know. And when that evening comes, then I trust that the Lord will help us to work on it together so we can understand it. Capital E, we need deliverance from Satan. In the fall, we obeyed Satan rather than God. One of the effects of this act is the control that Satan has on the human race. Even as believers, we are vulnerable to his attacks in that we still sin and fail to practice the truth. Satan exerts an insidious, constant influence upon all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Now, he has more of an effect upon us than we ever realize. And when that Thursday comes, I want to talk about that very simply, but very, very boldly with you right out of the Bible. Capital F, we need deliverance from the world. Due to our sinful and selfish nature, we have created a cultural way of life which is but a reflection of our own character. It is described in the Bible as a type of thinking and living in which the goals of life are completely self-centered. Much of our bondage is due to the way we have accepted the priorities of the world about us. Through Jesus Christ, we have been separated from the world and its enslavement. Well, this is a hard one today. We're all under a good deal of pressure from the world about us, and we need to learn how to deal with that. Capital G, we need deliverance from temptation. The believer, though redeemed, is still susceptible to temptation from his fleshly nature, the world about him, and from Satan. Too often we find ourselves characterized by lack of discernment and spiritual weakness in this crucial area of our daily life. The Lord has broken the sources of temptation for us and dwells within us by the Holy Spirit to be our strength. I want to work on that. That's a real difficult one for many of us. Find that we're weak in temptation, and we often do not know really the reasons why. The last one, page 5, capital H, we need deliverance from deception. Due to the presence of our fleshly nature, the self-centered priorities of the world, and the continual influence of Satan, the Christian is in constant danger of deception. We are warned regarding self-deception through disobedience to God and the accepting of the standards and goals of the sinful culture about us. In his life and death, the Lord Jesus Christ has exposed the errors and sins which captivate us and has given himself to us as the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the summary. Jesus Christ came into the world to be our deliverer from these 8 and more areas of enslavement, self-destruction, and judgment. What rejoicing this should bring into our lives. We have a deliverer. Now, that ought to be a great help to us this evening to understand that. Now, notice in Roman numeral 2, I want to pick up now a little bit as to what Jesus Christ has done for us. You understand that what I have here now upon the board is a picture of our state and what he wants to do with us. He wants to work in our lives. God wants to come into our lives and has made the provision for that through truth and grace. We understand here in the left-hand side that we find ourselves in our daily life often in some form of slavery. And he wants to lead us into the other circle where there is where we're characterized more by freedom than slavery, so that we can live and do the will of God. Now, the source of all of that is God's provision for us of truth and grace. Now, how is that going to come about? Well, I want to put the next one on now. This is how it comes about, and that God has made the grace of God possible in your life and mine. I'm going to have to move that up a little bit now. He's made that possible through the birth of the Lord Jesus, where he entered right into the very areas of slavery where we found ourselves. He came into your life and mine. The Lord Jesus Christ became a member of the human race. He entered into our slavery so that through his death, his passion, his death, resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost, that the Lord Jesus Christ can now, with us, bring us to this place of freedom. I see he hasn't addressed us from heaven. So important to see that. He hasn't just spoken to us from heaven and remained removed from us. He came to us. He came into our life, and that ought to mean everything to us. Now, we've just gone through the season of the year when we talk about that. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he became a member of the human race for us. Now, we ought to have just the deepest appreciation of that in our lives. We would never, could never have been delivered without Jesus Christ becoming a member of the human race. And he entered into our way of living without being contaminated by it. He joined himself to all of the brokenness of our law. He involved himself in all of our slavery so that he could set us free. Talk about participation with us. Talk about understanding what it means to live in this kind of world. He worked in the carpenter shop. He had calluses on his hands. He had to take a shower when he was through with his work. He didn't smell very good. He's lived our kind of life, faced our kind of reality, cried over people in death, suffered with people when he saw the bondage of sin. He became a member of the human race so that he could die for us and lead us out of it into a state of freedom. And he's with us in that this evening so that this might be a very living and practical thing in your life and mine. Well, notice the brief statement I have here on page 5, capital A. He was born into our human race through the miracle of the incarnation. He became fully a member of the human race while remaining fully God. Notice the verse. The Word, the Lord Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Capital B, as a member of the race, Jesus Christ, the God-man, became our representative before God. He chose to identify himself with our fallen state of condemnation and death so that he could deliver us. Now, that's what I mean by the circle on the left-hand side. Notice the verse. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Capital C, as our representative, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered our penalty on the cross, endured our hell, died our death. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Capital D, having defeated Satan in the crucifixion, paid the penalty of sin, stripped death of its power, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, and his resurrection is a testimony that the deliverance he promised is a reality. The verse, as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. What a tremendous comment that is in the Bible. The writer in that section of the book of Acts goes on to talk about two wonderful things, justification on one hand, forgiveness on the other. And there are many other comments in the Bible that could be made about the mercy of David. Page 6, capital E, in his ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ entered heaven as our representative to take up his work as our high priest. He is in heaven as our forerunner, our surety, our mediator, and as our advocate. He continually makes intercession for us. My verse, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Capital F, in his glorification, the Lord Jesus Christ bestowed the blessed Holy Spirit upon his people and thereby brought the church into existence. All who now believe are made a member of that church. My comment in the verse, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that is Peter's testimony, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then the summary. There is no area of life or need that the Lord Jesus Christ has not touched with his blood and grace. He has broken all the sources of our bondage and has provided freedom for us. Well, that's why I have it here in these two circles this evening. Christ entered into our slavery so that he might live with us in our freedom and make that kind of deliverance more and more of a reality in our lives. Now, how can we be free? Because of a deliverer. What has he done? He has entered into our slavery, into our life, taken upon himself the position of being our representative to deal with all of those areas that bring us into slavery and still constantly do by the fact that we do not know enough to live as free people. Now, he's present in our lives. He couldn't be more present. Now, we may not sense him. We may not see much of a manifestation of his grace, but it doesn't have to continue that way. God wants you to know about his presence and then to live in such a way so that the liberty and freedom that he purchased for us can be made a reality. Well, let me remind you that when the Lord Jesus made you back there in the Garden of Eden, that he made you, if I might put this back on the board, he made you as a person. He made you as a spiritual person so that you can find fulfillment. And the fulfillment that he has in mind for you is through his gracious deliverance. Notice on page 6 now, Roman numeral 3, what Jesus Christ has given us now to deliver us. What has he given us? Well, you know the answer. At least those of you who've been coming to the Thursday night Bible class, you know what I'm going to put on the board now. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us himself. Here it is. In order to be free people, he has given us simply himself. And out of himself, he's given us every provision. Salvation, the Holy Spirit, Christian life, the church, the Bible. And we could go on, fill all the pages of the world with things that he has given us. And here are 5 that stand out at high on the list of the priority. To have Christ in our life means that we have the deliverance that's characterized by and grows out of salvation and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Christian life, the fellowship and the communion of the church, and the blueprint of the Bible. Now, all of this, of course, has to do with the person of Christ. Some of us are here this evening and we're having a little difficulty because we have separated salvation from the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We can't do that. We're having a little trouble because we've separated the ministry of the Holy Spirit from Christ, who has baptized us into the church with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ and to make his presence and his work real in our lives. Never separate these two. Thirdly, we've separated the Christian life from the Lord Jesus. We can't do that. And we separated the church from he who is the head of the church, and the Bible, the written word, from he who is the living word. Well, now we have to understand the intimate relationship between these 5 great areas that are so necessary to understand if we're going to be delivered people, and the very one who is our deliverer himself. Notice my comment. Page 6, capital A, he's given us salvation. Through bringing us to himself in repentance and faith, he's bestowed upon us the benefits of the deliverance he purchased for us in his passion. We are now forgiven, justified, accepted, and adopted into a living relationship with him. We are delivered people. Notice my verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What a tremendous comfort and help this ought to be to us this evening. I trust that every one of us now in this auditorium, that there was a time in our life when we deliberately chose to believe the gospel, receive Jesus Christ as Savior, submit to him as Lord, and so that we don't have any question about our relationship. Now, if you do have some questions, see me after the session this evening. I'd be glad to sit down with you with the Bible and help you now tonight. He's made the kind of a provision for us so we can have salvation as we see it in the Bible and understand it like that, and then have the deliverance that grows out of it. Capital B, he's given us the blessed Holy Spirit. As believers, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He has come to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ through our daily life and progress. He is our divine helper to instruct and to enable us in learning the truth through the Scripture and then living it out in our daily life through prayer and service. Notice the verse. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now see what that ought to mean in your life and mine? The first part of that verse is a possibility. It is God's express will for you because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. All right, on page 7 now, please. Thirdly, he's given us the Christian life. Salvation introduces us into a life of fellowship with God. We can now love him, trust him, obey him, and serve him. As we mature in an understanding of our deliverance, we're able to experience more freedom in our daily life. We can live as delivered people. Notice the verse. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, why did Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he talked about people being introduced into a life of fellowship with God, prefaced it by reminding us that God is faithful? Well, it's because we need that. We need to understand that all of the promises about living in fellowship with God have been placed in the Bible not to mock us, but to encourage us. and to instruct us as to how to live. And here he's reminding us that God is faithful to all of those promises. Capital D, he's given us the church. Through our union with Jesus Christ and salvation, we were baptized by the Holy Spirit and made a member of the body of Christ. All of us have been given gifts for the fellowship, sustaining, and edifying of the other members of the church. Our relationship one with another is that of love. Through our mutual dependence on one another, as we grow, we can grow in the experience of our mutual deliverance. Notice the verse, for as by one Spirit are we all, that's the word, all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So here now, we may be separated, some of us this evening, by denominational lines, but all of us that are born again, there is a great sense of unity and oneness among us, and we ought to implement that. We need to be praying for one another, helping one another with the various gifts that he's distributed to us. Capital E, he's given us the Bible. The Holy Scripture is the blueprint of our experiential deliverance. As we learn to take the Word of God and put it into practice through faith and love, we grow in the knowledge and thereby in the practical experience of our freedom in Jesus Christ. The Bible is the message of deliverance, and it presents patterns of thought and action so we may know how to live in the freedom and the liberty of the children of God. Notice the verse, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not live in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, here are five things that I would suggest to you this evening that he's given you. You have it all in Christ. Now, to know how to participate in these five areas, in the intimacy of love and fellowship and communion with the Savior, can only produce one thing in your life and mine: the deliverance, the freedom, the liberty, with all of the joy and assurance that he's promised us. Well, my concluding summary now, of course, brings us, as you know, to a matter of choice. And I want to put that on the board again this evening. The necessity of choice. We all have patterns in our lives because of being a born-again person. Patterns of the victory through our redemption. We also have patterns of sin because we're fallen people. And this has come right into your life and mine, and we need now to make choices here. All of us have been programmed because of our past, because of the homes in which we've been raised, because of the vulnerabilities of certain people in our ancestral lines. We've all been programmed to sin in a certain way. That's why we're all sinners, but sin manifests itself a little differently in some of our lives. Some of you are here tonight and you're having trouble with physical sins. Some of you here are here and you're having trouble with pride, spiritual sins. Some of us have a great deal of difficulty with anger. Another person with depression. Well, we're in Christ, and we can break the old patterns that have come to us as sinful patterns. We don't have to go on with the programming of sin. We can break those by the grace of God. And I want to talk in these 10 weeks with you about that, and then how to initiate the new patterns of deliverance. Notice on the bottom of page 7, please. What are we to do now to initiate this? One more illustration this evening, if I might put it here on the board. One more illustration. What's the source of our freedom? What must we do to be free people? Notice on the bottom of page 7, capital A, recognize and treat all sin and its effects as completely foreign. I hope this comes to you with all of the promised deliverance that we find in the Bible. Don't you realize this evening that because you're in Christ, that sin is foreign to you? Now, it's hard for us to say that if we're having trouble with being an angry, wrathful, hostile kind of a person, and we find ourselves numerous times during the day just boiling over in our hostility and taking it out on everybody and everything and within reach. Doesn't look to us like sin is foreign. Looks like it's very compatible with us. Oh, no, no, no. That's not the kind of a person you are if you have been born again. That kind of an expression in your life is basically and fundamentally foreign. Now, you need to take a stand against that and not give up, not be discouraged about it, not to give in to it. Notice in the verse I have here under capital A, likewise reckon ye, that is, regard it, count it to be so. Reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what does that say? It states very plainly that sin is foreign to us. Now we need to treat it that way. We need to reject it. We need to refuse it. Let me give this little illustration. When a person is healthy and his body is healthy and he confronts some kind of a disease, what does the healthy body do? It treats it as a foreign element and attacks it and throws it off. Now, as a born-again person, we need to do that with sin. We need to be just as bold and blunt about it as our body would reject disease germs. We need to understand that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are dead to sin. Now, I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm not saying we don't have to stop and learn. We all need the help of one another so we can learn. But he wants us to learn how to live as free people from sin, with all of its effects in our lives, all of the effects of anxiety and worry, self-righteousness, gossip, pride, selfishness, being a self-centered kind of a person, an individual of hostility, a defeated kind of a person of depression and despair, a person that can't control their bodily desires, may be characterized occasionally by immorality, a person who is characterized by all kinds of self-righteousness but has never learned to love God or to love other people. Self-righteous in their own religious activity. They have everything but the genuine article. Everything outside, almost nothing on the inside. Well, we need to treat all of that as foreign. We need to be willing to be a delivered person. Willing. We need to be willing to turn ourselves over to the deliverer so he can operate a little on us, you know. Notice on page 8, capital B, what's the second thing we need to do? We need to recognize and treat all truth, love, and holiness as completely compatible. Notice the verse, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I mean by this now something very simple and blunt. To treat everything that is on the positive side of the ledger as being compatible with us, as that which should be the object of our affection. That's what it says in the verse. Like what happens to us when we get up in the morning, we don't want to read the Bible. What should we do? Look upon reading the Bible as completely compatible in spite of how we feel, and choose to do it. Treat every good thing, every positive thing as compatible, and then act on that basis. We are all so susceptible to our emotions and the problems and the difficulties of our daily life. We allow our emotions to victimize us, and we ought not to do that. The third thing we need to do, break and reject all the old patterns of sin. Notice the verse, that you put off concerning the former way of life, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Break the old patterns of sin. Some of us are pretty deeply programmed. Somebody rubs us the wrong way, they get hurt. We don't have to live that way. We can break that old pattern, that old programming. We can, because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can turn it over to him, learn how to do that by faith, love, and hope, so that he can come into our lives and set us free. The fourth point, we need to initiate the new patterns of truth, love, and holiness. Notice the verse, and that have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved people, hearts of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any person have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of maturity or perfectness. How much better we would be off tonight if we would be able to do this. Forgive one another and love one another, as the passage states. So I urge that you think of these four things now as we go down through these 10 lessons. To treat all sin as foreign. Treat truth, love, and holiness as compatible. Break the old patterns of sin. Initiate the new patterns of truth and love and holiness. Well, I just want to tell you that I'm looking forward to these 10 weeks, and I want to make this as just as simple and as powerful and as dynamic and as blunt as I can. I want to invest my life in yours. I might as well tell you right now on the first night. If you come, you're not going to escape. I'm going to get to you somehow. I'll rub you the wrong way and then rub in the balm of Gilead, or I'll do something. We need to know that God wants to deliver us. And there's nobody out there in this lovely auditorium but what God wants to be your deliverer in the very areas where you perhaps have given up. Now, I want to encourage you to stop giving up. Stop thinking that you're an exception to love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. I tell you, God wants to come into our lives and make life worth living. We have a deliverer. And when we learn how to live with him and appropriate the grace of God, then we can live as delivered people. Well, it's a thrill to see all of you here tonight. I want to particularly thank those of you who have responded to my letter by writing to me and giving me some names to pray about, people that you're concerned about. I want to just thank you for that. I want to assure you that I'll just pray with you and for these dear people. I've been praying for many of you by face and many of you by name. So good to have you here tonight. Let's just trust the Lord together now that he might really help us in these 10 weeks. Let's bow together to pray. Loving Father, we're grateful for your goodness and mercy to us in the Lord Jesus. As we've read these verses, we've been overwhelmed in the understanding that we are delivered people. We're ashamed of ourselves, of how we've allowed sin to rob us of the best of the Christian life. We're ashamed, dear Father, and embarrassed as to how we have allowed ourselves to be victimized by our emotions. And by our people, by the people about us, and by our circumstances, we humbly ask that you would come and rescue us and minister to us. Bless all of those that we represent here in the auditorium this evening. Protect us on the way home. Give us a good night's sleep. And make us a blessing for you tomorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this lesson in our series, The Christian and His Deliverance. And we would encourage you to listen to each of the lessons in this series, as well as series on other topics that are available on the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.